Welcome back to Too Long Did Read It, everyone's favorite, second favorite, or third favorite investigation into the seedy underbelly, as well as the beautifully open casket of Reddit.
The beautifully open casket of Reddit? The open casket?
I was hoping if I just said some cool buzzy words, you wouldn't question what it actually implied.
This show, you think this show is sort of an open casket?
In a way.
In that we are dead.
No, we're not in the casket, but we're uncovering things that are in an open casket.
Not really much to uncover. It's just sort of a body in there.
I've never seen a dead body.
We've talked about this so many times. I have. I've seen two.
I know, but I have never. I've never been to a place with an open casket.
You've never. They don't like let you. They don't say like, oh, you can come in and look if you want.
I don't think that the funerals I've been to have had an open casket.
It's not an open casket. It's just like if you're a family member, you can come in and see them before they get buried.
No.
Oh, I've done that way too many times.
Okay, let's dive into our first post, which is from the subreddit r/marriage.
Okay.
A place for sharing the for better and for worse of marriage.
Oh my God, I'm just looking at this title.
Okay, yeah.
It better be that she sent a picture of her donkey. Better be that.
Okay, the OP writes, my friend sent my husband a picture of her ass. This was all after my husband and I hosted a little 4th of July party at our house. We have a 4-year-old and a 7-month-old, and we're 26 and 27. So most of our friends don't have kids / aren't married yet. So it was family for the most part. I didn't want a lot of drinking there, but my best friend since middle school, or at least I thought she was, came. Her and one other friend were the only non-family people there.
Okay.
I have one other friend, friend B, who came, but she has a boyfriend and they have a son. So we click a little more nowadays than I do with friend A.
Okay.
So friend A and friend B had a few glasses of wine, and friend A had a little too much, and friend B drove her home before we all went to the fireworks show.
Mm-hmm.
That night at around 12:30, my husband was holding our youngest daughter and then handed me his phone and just said, I don't know what to do about this.
Okay.
Friend A had texted my husband saying, I'm all alone and, in parentheses, my name is watching the kids. So why don't we just watch a movie or something? And then at 12:45-ish, she sent a picture of her ass. I've never felt so betrayed. I don't know what to do. I haven't spoken to her yet, and I don't even know what to say to her. I guess I just needed to vent.
Okay. I thought that it was going to be something where it was like questionable, where it was like, oh my God, look at this sunburn I got. And then it was just like a picture of the bathing suit or something, you know, like how like you might not even think about it. But this is
to
very
be fair, if my friend sends John a photo of her body and didn't send it to both of us, that would be weird under any context.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you send it to both of us, happy to give comment, feedback.
Sure.
Praise.
Like, good job for the husband to being like, right? Like immediately. I mean, what would you do if someone did that to John?
Well, actually, I think the top comment nailed it, which said, if it was me, I just sent her a screenshot of the conversation from my phone and just say, what the fuck, man? And then I ignore her and cut her off, to be honest. No friendship is worth my marriage.
Absolutely. Well, I'm saying, what do you do? Not that you stay friends with her or you're weird. I'm saying, do you screenshot it and put it on Facebook?
No!
Do you just send it to her? Do you sort of send it to like your entire friend group from middle school? Like, what level of revenge are we talking here?
That's interesting. I think I would send it to her for sure, and then I'd probably tell my other friends what happened. But I wouldn't publicly shame her about it.
Yeah, why not?
Because this is where we disagree.
Revenge. We disagree on revenge.
We disagree on like I think that sometimes being like really mean to other people, even if they deserve it, makes like kind of like
a backlash. Like, and
no, it just turns you into something that like I don't really want to be.
And I'm in that place now too. I'm definitely in that place now. I'm just saying things for the plot.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm in a place now where I'm not doing that either because it made me well, I'm letting the people that are mad at me take themselves out in the trash. Because people are like, okay, sorry, I saw what they posted and they look unhinged. And I'm like, good.
You're not into revenge anymore?
Not publicly.
Okay.
My revenge is all done behind the scenes, baby. I'm sort of little fingering from Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? I'm behind. I got my hand in all the pies.
Uh-huh.
But it's all secret all right. now. And me saying that is even causing more mystery.
That's still you focusing on bringing other people down.
Don't worry. Don't worry about what I do in my private time. Okay. It's a hobby.
To bring people down?
No. To bring okay. people to where they're supposed to be.
So you saying that you've now changed and you don't like to do it anymore is just like a lie.
No. I'm balancing the sheet behind the scenes. You know what I mean? I'm sort of like an angel of death. I'm just sort of making sure behind the scenes that the battle for good and evil is balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my burden.
Okay. Let's move on. Here's another fun post from kind of in a similar vein, though, from the subreddit Bad Roommates.
Oh, did the roommate hit on the boyfriend?
Well, it's entitled, "My male roommate, who I barely speak to,
no.
asked me for sex."
God, you know what? You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sound very prudish, and I'm going to sound not like myself, but this is porn's fault.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to read this exchange? And you
absolutely,
be,
I
you
do.
You be the male roommate? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
"Hello. Are you okay with me watching the dog for one more week starting Wednesday? I won't be watching her again anytime soon because I'm so over it, LOL. But I know she likes to bark at you for no reason. So I'll only watch her again if you're cool with it. No worries if you're not into it."
It's all good. Thanks for asking. That'll cost you a drink, LOL.
LOL. "My next batch of Truly's cucumber lime is yours." Like cry laughing emoji.
LOL. "As long as you drink with me. Ha ha ha."
LOL, "We'll have to see about that. I don't think we have similar drinking schedules." Cry laughing emoji.
"My drink schedule is every day, LOL. I don't know about you."
LOL, "Mine is definitely not." Cry laughing emoji.
"That's fine, LOL. Maybe we can work out sometime, LOL."
LOL, "You have an extra treadmill?"
And then he put a question mark and then said, "I don't do treadmills." Cry laughing. "I do a different kind of cardio, LOL."
"I'm good." Cry laughing. "I don't know how Diane would feel about all that, LOL."
Touche. "Want me to ask her, LOL?"
"No, thank you. Just not interested."
"It's fine. I understand. Nice chat, LOL."
Power fist.
Okay, so here's the thing. Etymology nerd, who we're going to have on this show, just did a video talking about the evolution of LOL and haha, where LOL no longer means laughing.
It doesn't.
No, it's used to denote like, don't take this seriously. Like it stopped being an indicator of what's happening and it started being an indicator of tone.
Interesting.
It makes things sound less confrontational, or it's used as like, think about how much they wrote LOL, but it wasn't about laughing. There's like a really great video where he talks about how it went from the evolution of that and haha being about what was actually happening to now being about mitigating awkwardness.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of cry laughing emojis.
Yeah. They're doing it to sort of indicate like the tone of like, we're not having a fight right now.
Yeah. But they definitely were.
Yeah. Who's Diane?
I mean, well, okay. So OP then writes, "Literally out of nowhere. What the fuck? I feel so disgusting and like I can't even be comfortable in my own house. He's done weird stuff before, like touch my tattoo without asking and asking me to scratch his shoulders at like 3 a.m. But I just blame that on him drinking every day. He stays in his room and loudly fucks his incredibly annoying girlfriend, Diane, all day and night. Then I asked if he's cool with me watching my friend's dog, and this was his reply. Yuck. Also, I think we figured out why that dog keeps barking at him."
I was going to say.
Because the dog can sense that he's a bad man.
Well, so this is the sort of thing where it's like, maybe you should let Diane know.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, why? It's a similar thing. Why not tell Diane?
But you live with him. Like, you don't want to blow up your life. I think if you can move out, you should. I think this is like an indicator that like if you're in the financial position that you can like look for a new place, I definitely would recommend it. But if you have to stay there, I think the move is to just do nothing.
Just ignore it?
Well, yeah. And like have very clear boundaries with this man where like you make sure you're like never alone with him. Just like don't let him get away with any of this misbehaving. You look so mad.
I am mad.
You want to cause a fight, and then that guy, this clearly kind of like little like unhinged man, you want him to be super mad at you when you live in the same space as him? That feels dangerous to me.
I'm just having really horrible flashbacks to roommates. Just having really horrible flashbacks to like how trapped you are in a roommate situation.
I know. I spent senior year of college just like in my room because I was so afraid of my roommate.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I had really good roommates most of college. But then like, well, I was dating one of them and it did go south every few weeks. But, you know, hard to break up when you're living in the same apartment. Not even as a couple in one room. We had our own rooms.
No, I know. You talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it was a terrible idea. Please, no one ever do that. Do not start fucking your roommate.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what she should do. I don't know what I would feel very paralyzed. I don't envy being a woman. Gotta say, glad I got out of there. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun for like gender reasons, but it also wasn't fun just like as a way of life.
Well, I think that's maybe also because you're trans.
No, but I'm talking about like no men cat. I haven't been catcalled in or followed on the street in like a year.
No, that's really cool.
It's much better.
Like you probably feel in danger way less now.
Way less. And they say that it's like hard to be a trans person. You're in danger, blah, blah, blah. And like other people are going to come at me and be like, oh, it's just because you have male privilege now. But like in some ways, I really do. Like it's like, okay, yeah, if I'm a trans person, if someone figures out I'm a trans guy in like a bathroom in the middle of nowhere, yeah, I'm fucked. But like generally, like walking around in LA, people are just leaving me alone. It's incredible.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today. Okay, so this next subreddit is entitled Deciding to Be Better, which nice. I wish that roommate would join. And this one is subject, Greg is a dick. Aww. And OP writes, back in college, I had a friend named Greg. I use the term friend loosely. You'll understand in a moment. Greg had a tendency to be, quote, the voice of reason. But in reality, he was just a dick. Examples.
Devil's advocate.
Hey, Greg, I'm thinking about applying for the $5,000 scholarship tomorrow. Greg, no, you shouldn't. There's much more qualified students. Hey, Carrie asked me to come over tonight for a movie. Do you think she's into me? Greg, it's probably out of pity.
The fucking person who's like, tells it like it is. Fuck you.
Hey, I want to get buff. I'm going to start going to the gym more this year. Greg, no, man, you're really not the gym type. You don't have the genes either. Then one day, I decided Greg was a piece of shit, and I stopped talking to him as much. I ended up applying for the scholarship and won. I ended up talking to Carrie and started dating. I ended up going to the gym and getting big, all because I stopped talking to Greg. But you see, Greg isn't real. Greg was just my internal monologue. I named him Greg because everything he said to me came from a guy named Greg in high school. Once I replaced Greg, I started succeeding much more often. I don't know who your Greg is, but stop talking to them.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Isn't that a fun twist?
I did not see that coming at all.
I know, I had it either when I first read it.
Wow.
I think really smart to like name the voice, the mean voice in your head and like make them a character.
I've heard of people doing that, but I've never done it.
What are you going to name yours?
Oh my God, I don't know. I thought Barbara, but I feel like that's not right. I love Barbara.
Does any name like make you furious? Like how the name Rachel makes Melissa furious?
Well, there's been good Joshes and bad Joshes. The girl who bullied me in high school, she has a very specific name that no one else has. It's a made-up name. So that's a tough one. Caitlin? Sorry to any Caitlins out there.
Does it feel right to name it a woman's name?
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know. Uh-oh. Oh, no. We just unlocked so many problems in a row. Oh, God. Wow. I have a hard time. Okay, what would you name yours, first of all?
I will name mine Jillian.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because that was the name of a girl who bullied me in elementary school. And I think it's also fun to be like, Jillian.
I also know a shitty Jillian. Oh, I know two shitty Jillians.
I do know a really nice Jillian, though, so now I feel kind of bad.
How does she spell Jillian?
You're asking me if I know how someone I went to elementary school spelled their name. That's like asking me to like solve like a high level mathematics problem. It's never going to happen.
You're right. You're right.
It's outside of my strength and you're my right. abilities.
Well, what about, okay, here's my question, my big philosophical question.
Okay.
How do we know when it's intuition telling you the right thing or when it's a Greg?
I think the tone. Right? Because is the tone critical? Is the tone like coming from a point of view that you suck and that you're and bad things will always happen to you?
But what if that person's right?
So am I safe to assume that you deal with this voice a lot?
Yeah, but it's hard as a bipolar person because it's like sometimes my you know, Caitlin is like, you're the best fucking person in the world. Everyone else should eat shit. You're fucking amazing. And then the same voice will be like, you're garbage. No one's ever loved you a day in your life.
Yeah.
So what do I do about that other than stay on the meds I'm on or up them periodically?
That's a good start. And maybe looking at if the voice is an extreme, if the voice has an extreme take one way or the other.
That's,
maybe
I know.
Maybe that's Caitlin.
I know that.
Well, there you go. We just reinforced what you already knew.
Ugh. What do I owe you? What's the fee?
I will take one iced tea.
Okay, I'll get it for you at the movie.
That'd be great.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
I'm going to read an Am I an Asshole, one of our classics favorites that's entitled, Am I the Asshole for Not Giving a Cupcake to a Child Who Was Not Originally on the Guest List?
This blew me away.
I haven't read this yet because Gabe sent it, but I'm going to say yes, knowing nothing else other than that you seem to be refusing a cupcake to a child.
Yep.
Okay, but here we go. I, 24 female, recently returned to my hometown after being away for college and work. My grandma often hosts potluck party where her three kids and their families can hang out. I'm a pretty good baker, and the couple of times I brought baked goods over, I got lots of compliments, especially from the kids. For the potluck we had last week, I had promised to make a cupcake for each and every kid, 8 kids all under 9. The adults would get a 2-pound cake to be shared. I elaborately decorated the cupcakes and made sure I made enough. I didn't have the energy to make extras. So now I understand the context matters, but I'm still waiting.
No, you can't make... Okay, continue.
I have to keep going. On the day of the party, one of my cousins brought her boyfriend and his kid, Gina, 7 female, over unannounced. Gina saw the cupcakes each kid got and wanted one too. So my cousin brought her to me to ask for a cupcake. I apologized and told them that all the cupcakes were spoken for and that she was welcome to have a slice of the 2-pound cake as it was the same flavor. Gina said she wanted the pretty cupcake. My cousin then said I should just give her one because she was sure at least one of the kids would not show up. Again, I refused, saying that I promised all the kids a cupcake and would feel awful if anyone had to miss out on the promised cupcake. My cousin then walked away with Gina. She was right, though, as one of our cousin's girls, Amy, 8 female, was sick and couldn't come. However, her dad and older brother did, and the brother asked if he could take the cupcake back to Amy, and I said yes. Oh my God, this twists and turns.
I know.
My cousin and Gina were in the kitchen when I brought the cupcake inside to pack it up for Amy. When they saw me packing the cupcake, they asked about it, and I said it was for Amy, who was sick. Pictures from the party were recently posted. Many parents posted pictures of their kids with my cupcake. My cousin sent me a message telling me that Gina was really upset that Amy, who wasn't even at the party, got a cupcake while she didn't. She said I was an asshole for hurting a little girl's feelings. I think I did the right thing giving the cupcake to Amy, as I did promise her one. Still, Gina was right there at the party. Am I the asshole?
Right. So this is where it's complicated.
This is much more complicated than I anticipated.
I know. Here's the thing. I think it's up to Gina's parents to say, hey, she only made enough for the kids that she promised. You didn't know her before today, so she didn't promise you one. Wouldn't you feel sad if someone had promised you a cupcake and then they didn't give it to you? You would feel sad, right? So how about we think about it for next time? You know what I mean? It's on the parent.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely like once she said that they were all accounted for, the cousin should have been like, oh, okay, why don't we get you a cupcake on the way home or something like that.
Right.
I think in the moment, I would have caved and given her a cupcake and then made Amy another cupcake.
Oh, like brought it to her later?
Maybe, yeah, depending on where everybody lives.
I think that sometimes in these things, the parents will be like, will expect everyone to cater to the kid. Oftentimes the parents leave it up to someone else to parent their kid, or they'll like have them... You know, they don't want to say no, so they'll have this other person say no, or they don't want to, like, do any parenting. Like, truly, like, the answer is for the parent to go, hey, imagine if, because you're supposed to, like, create, like, empathy in the child, or, like, do gentle parenting where you're like, think about if you went somewhere and someone came who wasn't expected. And you had been promised a cupcake and that other person took your cupcake. You would feel pretty sad, right? So can you imagine that Amy would feel sad? So how about we have some cake, which is the same. And then on the way home, maybe we stop and get French fries. You know what I mean?
Ugh, like I'd love actually to stop parent, and get French fries.
Like do a parenting.
Well, this person wasn't their parent. It was their boyfriend.
No, I'm saying their parent should do it.
No, I know. But so the top comment on this said, all the cupcakes were spoken for. Your cousin was essentially asking you to punish Amy for being sick by giving her cupcake to Gina instead.
Right.
Gina was an add-on, and as such, she was welcome to enjoy the cake, but not to steal a cupcake that was promised to and designated for someone else.
Right.
So this is an example of like how sometimes I just need someone to tell me how to feel about something.
I think too, like you could have, the OP could have pulled aside the parent and been like, look, I'm sorry about this, but, you know, these are spoken for. Like, it seems like everyone was kind of being passive aggressive. Like, I think we could have just, like, I think it could have been like, hey, these are spoken for. I'm really sorry, but the you know, the cake is the same flavor, and maybe, you know, maybe you can just kind of work this out with your kid in some way, or, you know, I can promise next time to bring her one. But like, you know, I don't know, just like more direct communication between all the adults.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like what you're alluding to, it's setting up like a bad precedent for Gina. Mm-hmm. Like someone wrote, the lesson Gina learned is that being an entitled brat when you gate crash a party is acceptable behavior. Great job, parents.
Exactly. But exactly. I know.
Yeah, someone else said, not the asshole. This was definitely a parenting fail. This was an excellent opportunity to teach their kid how to manage disappointment and about accepting alternative solutions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So we were wrong. The OP really wasn't the asshole, despite my earlier bias and assumptions.
Not an asshole, but I don't like her tude. And I think that she could have had more direct lines of communication with the other adults. I think like the adults are all acting like children.
Well, I think that the cousin's acting worse than the OP, though.
Here's the thing. Okay, the OP goes to the cousin and goes, I'm so sorry. I only made enough cupcakes for the kids who are here. But you seem to be a kid who gate crashed, to the cousin. But from your behavior, it seems like you're a kid who shouldn't be here.
Okay, that was like very reminiscent of the Seinfeld episode where George took a long time to think of a comeback, and then the comeback wasn't even good.
The jerk store called.
Yeah.
They run out of you.
That was what you just did, both with your enthusiasm and the level of comeback.
Fine. Hey, man, I only made enough for the kids, and I came here to make cupcakes and kick ass, and I've made enough cupcakes.
Again, not strong, not clever, like not a great comeback.
Fine.
So now it's time for you to play Reddit or not. Hit me with your best shot that I hope is better than your comebacks.
Okay. People who have visited every castle that exists.
Okay.
They've gone to every castle.
Is that something you want to do?
Yeah, just thinking about castles in general. And like towers. And like how there's like all these towers that are pretty famous, but like we don't really use them for anything anymore, but now we just visit them.
Like what?
Like castles that nobody lives in. But they
I didn't know what you meant by towers.
Oh, like a tower. Like in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Like, think about how weird that is. Like, imagine if in the future there's no like buildings or skyscrapers, but like we just keep all the skyscrapers up and then people just visit them and like take pictures, but they're not actually used for anything.
Yeah, that's spooky spook.
Yeah, but we just leave them there because of art? Question mark.
Maybe.
Have you ever been to Versailles?
I don't think so. Where's Versailles?
It's in Versailles.
It's a country,
babe. No, it's a city in France. What do you mean?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Where is Versailles?
Asking what country.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I purposefully misunderstood. We're at what
each
you
other's
said.
We're at each other's throats.
I purposefully misunderstood what you said to be funny.
Okay, so I'm not seeing anything about like someone who's been to all of the castles, but yeah. I see people that seem to really love castles.
What are they saying about them?
Well, this person says, for an American who loves castles and medieval and Renaissance history, what are the best places/countries to visit in continental Europe? And they said, I've already been to the UK and Ireland and absolutely loved my time there, looking to book a trip in continental Europe soon.
What are the
And then
answers?
Someone replied, Germany, where there are castles everywhere.
Oh.
And then someone else said that Spain was full of castles. Someone else said France.
What about Romania?
I don't know if there's anyone out there that's been to every single castle.
Okay, let me Google. Has anyone visited? No, they're just like the most visited castles. World's most visited castles.
So you did it. You stumped Reddit. But you didn't just stump Reddit. You stumped human experience because no one has accomplished this.
No, that's not true. Somebody must have.
No way.
Who has visited? No, It's just like which castle is the most visited. I'm talking about who has visited the most castles.
No, you said someone who's visited every castle, and I don't think that that's possible because there's probably a lot of like independently, privately owned castles still.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I guess no one, you know what? No one person can own history. That's the point. You think you own the land you land on. The earth is just something you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
What is that?
Pocahontas.
Oh, okay. Anyway, thank you all so much for joining us. We will be back on Wednesday with a full episode of Just Between Us and back on Monday with another episode of Too Long, Did Read It. And if you want to watch our facial reactions as we read these Reddit stories to each other, you can sign up to our Patreon for full videos of each Too Long, Did Read It episode, as well as ad-free episodes of every single podcast we do. That's for only $3 a month at patreon.com/justbetweenus.
Also, sorry I'm not looking up a lot in this episode. I was doodling, and also I was having a small autistic meltdown where I couldn't look at eyeballs, so I apologize.
That's okay. Tata la titat.
Bye.
Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.